Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey-o, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Josh, they can't see you. Just because I can see you, the people listening can't. You can't just wave. You have to actually use your words.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
And that's JT Holton.
Hey.
JT's just smiling now. JT took a short break right before the episode, and now he's smiling awkwardly and rubbing his nose.
Woo! Let's go.
Wow.
Woo!
In this together.
Talk about the weather. Let's go.
We're here together. let's see. Guys, have you caught up on your latest of the Last Dance episodes?
I'm almost caught up.
Unfortunately, this is not about the flamenco. You know, this is Michael Jordan. Yeah.
I wasn't able to watch it, all of it, last night because I was recording a podcast with my new co-hosts.
Oh, okay.
So we did record during the episode 3 and 4. But that's not as bad as recording during the World Series or anything like that. So I watched
Really going to be mad that we're recording while the Braves are replaying the World Series from 1995?
What are you talking about, a replay? This is live baseball, buddy.
Oh, is it? Okay. Bobby Cox is suddenly doing a lot better with his health, I guess. Goodness.
Did something happen that I don't know about?
Oh, you didn't know? Bobby's they said that he's now suffering from heart trouble. What's it called? Heart. I can't think of the name of it now. But yeah,
I just saw him in the dugout like an hour ago. He seems fine.
Yeah, you're an idiot. How do we feel about the Last Dance episode? Because these were fun. This had the Dennis Rodman and the Lakers. Listen to me,
Dennis Rodman.
The whole ascension of Phil. And the hate rivalry with the Pistons.
Yeah, the hate. So there's a lot to unpack here. Dennis Rodman, I loved your tweet about the fact that all those guys were doing all kinds of that shit. You know, like Vegas and, you know, drugs and just getting crazy. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Oh yeah, they all were. It was 100%.
And but Rodman was just out about it. You know. But I loved the whole, you know, he had to go on a break thing and how Phil was cool with it. You know, I thought that was hilarious.
It's like the whole story was so funny. He's like, Robin says he needs a vacation. And Michael's like, what? A vacation? What are you talking about?
It was kind of cool how Pippen and Jordan just embraced him, you know, because a lot of other teammates probably didn't. He was kind of a crazy guy, you know, and so.
Oh, 100%.
I thought it was cool how, and then the whole Indian thing, how him and Phil connected over Native American culture. That was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
And Phil, I didn't know Phil Jackson was a basketball player before. That was kind of cool. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm, had no
idea. He won
10.
Championships, didn't he?
Dude, I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole hate thing was so beautiful. So beautiful, and it was so funny to see people tweet about it as if it's this foreign thing now, which is kind of sad in a way, because it's like, that's the way life should be. That's the way sports should be. You should hate your opponent in sport. And I didn't think about it being such a lost thing until last night when everyone's tweeting about how that's just such a big deal, you know?
Well, we're going to dig into all of that and more on today's Knockahoma Nation podcast show. First off, a shout-out to the people who make this show happen, our patrons. And this week we have a new patron to add to the list. He went from being a $5 patron to a $9 patron. Shout out
Whoa.
To COVID Big Not money, Braves, baby. Big Not Braves, Robert, you have joined the next rank of the Knock Home Nation family, and you get a shout-out, buddy. Thanks for supporting the show.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to all our patrons that support the show.
Yeah, and thanks, Robert.
Make all this stuff happen.
I told you guys you got to help me pay for that truck. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to need a lot more of it. If we're gonna do that. But hey, if you would like to become a patron supporter of the show, you can do so at www.patreon.com/knockahomination. And there's three different tiers of support. If you'd like to help us out, we sure would appreciate it. You help make things happen here on the show, and we are in the process of finding out what it takes to move to doing some video stuff and all kinds of different things. So please help support the show. We appreciate it. So back to this. Let's talk Dennis Rodman first. Dennis Rodman was a troubled guy when he was with Detroit. He shows up at the arena one day, or goes missing and shows up at the arena with a gun in his car. Like, obviously kind of suicidal based off of context clues. Then he gets traded to the Spurs. Can you imagine Dennis Rodman on a Spurs team from our lifetime? How weird is that?
Yeah, that's weird. That
super
is weird.
And I realized that was pre...
I always forget that he played for the Spurs. Yeah. It's just so weird.
Was David Robinson there at that time?
Yeah, he was there.
Really?
How weird.
That is weird.
How weird, because David Robinson, you think of him as like Mr. Clean.
Clean, just stand up.
He probably was, but that's the way you think of him, you know. And but then, so... we come back and he joins Chicago and like goes into psycho Dennis Rodman spells. Wow, Josh, that's a beautiful look. You look like what's that dude's name? The actor from Jeremy Piven. You went full on Jeremy Piven there for a minute. I've always thought you looked like him.
He looks like Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory.
I can see that too. I can see that. So back to Rodman going insane, like what, okay, JT, you saw it. How do you feel about the whole Dennis Rodman Chicago?
I accidentally recorded Save the Last Dance with Julia Stiles and Sean Patrick Thomas.
Nice.
So I watched that too, which is a great movie.
That's a cute movie. Yeah.
My mom hated the fact that Dennis Rodman was like my favorite basketball player because all I cared about was tattoos, piercings, green hair, and number 91. That just looked awesome. Maybe just and he, remember the show Rodman World Tour?
I do.
His own TV show
on MTV. I do.
So I love Dennis Rodman only because he was the anti-hero. You know, I mean, he was the. You had Michael Jordan, who's your all. For all we knew, was the all-American straight-laced basketball player. You know, because we didn't really. You know, I was a kid. I didn't know all those things.
Yeah.
And then there was Dennis Rodman, who was, you know, the muscle of the group. He was the guy that did all the dirty work, got into the fights, kicked the camera guy, threw his jersey in the stands. He was just, you know, just the rebel. And
he was also incredibly good at defense. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy how good
curtain,
he was.
To kind of have the curtain pull back just a little bit and see that Dennis Rodman's not a crazy man is really kind of cool, because like, he's certainly a crazy man, don't get me wrong, he's crazy, but he's very intentionally crazy. And it sounds like, based off of at least the documentary, makes it sound like he's basically a kind of a savant, a high level genius. I mean, Jordan called him a genius, and that the reason he didn't play well at places was because he was bored out of his mind.
Didn't challenge him. And what seeing him in the locker room watching film of guys, and you know, it was interesting because you don't think of that. You don't think of a guy like him being cerebral in any way.
Yeah.
And then they had the trivia question that he had 7 career games of 20 plus rebounds and 0 points.
20 games. 20 career games.
Oh, wow. It was 20. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's amazing.
Crazy.
Maybe I may have the numbers mixed up. Maybe it was 7, and the next closest was 2.
Yeah,
so
Marcus Camby had 2.
Yeah, my bad.
You don't get 20 rebounds on accident. That's a mix of effort, and it's a mix of film study, and knowing how to position, and being super athletic.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll get a rebound that just falls in your hands. But most of it, 95% of the time, is just work. It's just putting in the time, studying, and then work ethic on the court.
I think I saw a stat today that showed his rebound numbers from the from that championship series against the Pistons, I believe it was, where it was like 20 rebounds, 0 points, 22 rebounds, yeah. 0 points, 21 rebounds, 0 points,
I
20 rebounds,
kind of,
10 assists, 10 points. You know,
that's
like,
my
that was,
favorite kind of basketball player, man. I love that stuff. 2005, was it, with the Pistons? Won the championship, and they had Ben Wallace was the guy, and played at center, a little undersized, but man, he would just out-muscle people, and he would fight for rebounds. It was ugly, but he did all the dirty things that needed to be done. Like, mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff. Rodman was just one of my favorite players to watch, not because it's like, yeah, there was a freak show aspect of like, you know, of green hair and like nose piercings and all that, but like, he didn't play the way you would think a guy that dresses like that plays. You would think a guy that has that look at me type of
would play
look
selfish.
About him,
would play selfish.
Yeah, would play the way James Harden plays or Russell Westbrook plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try to score 45 points a night and try to have the ball in his hands all the time.
Yeah.
He played off the court, he was all about look at me, look at me. On the court, he was the most unselfish player there possibly could be.
Right. I mean, like, this is the thing, and I mean that in, like, a multiple ways. Like, I hated Dennis Rodman as a kid because, like, I was kind of the conservative kid, and to me, he was scary. Like, that was
shocking,
weird.
Kid,
you know?
That is shocking.
Yeah.
He was on the front shocked. Porch eating his grapes,
yep.
Eating his grapes, watching David Robertson play. And,
but I did. Kenny was a big John Stockton fan.
Yeah, yeah. I did think that Rodman was a fantastic basketball player. And the thing about Robin, though, is, like, watching this documentary, the thing it helps me see is he was doing in public what a lot of these guys were doing in private, and that scared the crap out of a lot of these guys because that's scary to us. It's scary to us to see somebody doing all the things we do without the shame we do them with. Like, I think that's why people hate Josh Brown. Like, seriously. I think that's why people hate you, Josh.
Nobody actually hates me. They just
a lot of people actually hate you.
They don't actually hate me.
It's because you literally do all the exact same things they do. You're just not ashamed that you did them. Yeah, I know you love Karl Malone. Josh is holding up a Karl Malone.
JT, look at this. Look. Isn't this awesome?
Hey, Karl Malone fathered a kid with a 13-year-old when he was in college.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
I found this at Goodwill. Isn't that cool?
I liked Karl Malone. You know, Karl Malone fought Dennis Rodman in a tag team match at Bash at the Beach, 1998.
Nice.
Karl Malone
like
and Diamond
cigarettes.
Dallas Page took on Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman. Oh. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I do vaguely remember that. Vaguely. Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, you know, Rodman, he dates Madonna. And Madonna is...
I forgot about that. Like, I knew that, but I totally had forgotten about
she's
that.
She's hyper-sensationalized, all this stuff. Yeah. But it's been proven. I actually know someone that did an interview with Madonna, and they said that she is
you
like.
You know someone that interviewed Madonna?
I do. Wow. He was one of my teachers in school. And
was it Stacy?
No.
From Talking Chop?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. That was through a fence, like at a concert. She was like actually 20 yards away, and she was yelling. Yeah. But Madonna. But Madonna has an IQ of like.
I love it when I get JT laughing. I try to do it at least once a week. That's
her,
all I need.
But Madonna's IQ is like, they say it's like 140 or something, which is like crazy genius level. And they said that everything Madonna's ever done, like sensationally, has been very intentional, whether it was the pointy bra or the, you know, the craziness in public. All of it was super intentional, which makes sense when you didn't see her like with Rodman being connected and all this stuff, you know, like him being a genius level too. You're like, oh, it kind of makes sense why they connected in this whole like act out yet be smart brand creation thing, you know. And you think about Rodman. He goes to a team, you're not going to be better than Michaels, so you can't make your brand anything like Michaels. Scotty's got the good guy, awkward kid, backup role covered, so you're not going to be that guy. So, like, how do you get any identity on a team with two superstars on it? And Rodman's like, I got it. I'll just be what they are, except I won't be ashamed of it, you know? And, man, that's kind of crazy. Like, what – do you guys have someone in your life that you feel like is the Dennis Rodman of, like, some other area, like, not basketball?
You like, is there an athlete playing in a certain sport that we think is
– athlete, maybe it's just somebody you know personally that's, like – this weird dad that does things super weird for a dad, you know, he's like
my
crazy.
Best friend from
and not
high
like,
school.
Not
Chris
that
Bartelsky.
They're all tattooed and have eye rings. That's Chris, not necessarily what I'm saying.
Chris,
you know, it's just
Chris Bartelsky, my best friend from high school. We're still friends to this day. I was Chris's best man in like 2005. And Bartelsky is a total spaz, just crazy all over the place. Weird, you know, marches to the beat of his own drum, you know, just, and I feel like in a way Rodman was kind of like that, like didn't care what anybody thought.
Sure.
And wasn't trying to be different. I don't think, you know, and that's kind of how Chris is. Like, he's not trying to be, he's just different. He's just like, he's his own guy. And a lot of people think he was in high school, just thought he was a total weirdo and kind of a loser, 'cause he would dress weird, but he didn't care, you know? And, he was, in my life, he was the guy who kind of, before I met Chris Bartelsky, when I was a junior at Roswell High School, I cared more about what people thought of me, I guess. And like and Chris didn't give a shit. And so like it just kind of, he was that guy in my life. And I feel like Rodman, if you got to know him, maybe was perhaps that way. Maybe he needed a little bit of like, you know, you're the kind of guy, if you're hanging out with him, you got to kind of temper him a little bit, you know, which sounds crazy because y'all probably think I'm that guy maybe, but like, and maybe I can be, but like Chris was like just nuts. You had to like, if you hung out with him or you went somewhere, if you go to Nashville with Chris Bartelsky, like you just emotionally prepare yourself. Like you have to do a little bit of babysitting, you know, but at the end of the day, you love him and you don't want him to die and all that.
That's the way I feel about Josh on the podcast, but as a person, I feel much more that way about JT. So I think JT's a lot closer to like the guy that probably needs somebody to watch out for him in real life, and Josh is like the guy that needs somebody to watch out for him.
It's funny
on the
you
podcast.
Say that, Ken. It's funny you say that. I've actually been in a bar with Dennis Rodman before. So,
I believe it.
Wow.
Of course, you have.
You're JT.
We're in Fort Lauderdale. We went down to we were staying at this hotel in Fort Lauderdale for our friend's wedding, and we went across next door was this place called like the Blue Martini or something. It had a name like that. Maybe the Blue Martini sounds right. And so we went, and it was like a cover charge. And you know when you're in college and you go to a bar that has a cover charge, now it's like, ooh, we're being fancy tonight.
Yeah.
Like it's $10 just to get in. But we're like, ah, it's a wedding. Let's go. And so we did, and I walked to the bar, and I told my roommate, like, hey, what do you want? I'll get the first round. And he's like, we got vodka cranberry. I still remember that because, like, we don't ever drink that, but it seemed fitting in Fort Lauderdale, you know? And so we go up, and then the guy's like, that'll be $30. And I'm like, oh, okay. Enjoy your one round. We'll each get a round. That's it. And so about 15 minutes later, my buddy comes back. He's like, hey, what's that basketball guy with the green hair and the piercings? I was like, Dennis Rodman? He's like, yeah, he's right over there. And I was like, no, he's not. And just as I said that, I turned, and sure enough, lanky ass Dennis Rodman is hanging by the bar with a feathery like Kangol hat over his head. Yeah. Uh-huh. And just, yeah, nose piercing. I mean, it's Dennis Rodman. There's no doubt about it. And I couldn't get up enough. Like, I didn't know what to say. You know, I mean, I was one of those things where I completely froze. I didn't want to bother him. At the same point, I was should I go up and say like, hey man, remember that time you won the championship with the Bulls? That was,
you know,
that was cool,
probably,
man.
Probably like bought you around and like y'all would have partied. Yeah, had some crazy story of spending the night with Dennis Rodman. You know that knowing JT, because you're
also
that
part
guy.
Of me where...
You're the guy that ends up like somehow no one's babysitting JT and he ends up spending the night with Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
like
there was also
JT,
a part of me that thought like
JT.
There's no way he wants me to talk to him though. You
JT
know what I mean?
Lives
like,
to tell the story of hey, I did coke off of Carmen Electra with Dennis Rodman.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to point out like that because I think he was talking to a bunch of strippers and probably didn't want like little dorky kid to come up and start talking to him. So like, yeah, I was probably like, you know, but I was like, oh, sweet, Dennis Rodman's like 10 feet that way. That's cool.
How different was the world back then? Because like they showed the video of Rodman grabbing a beer. He's drinking a Miller Lite, I think it was. He slams the Miller Lite, jumps on a Harley, or a Goldwing, I guess it was, and just tears off down the middle of Las Vegas. And like, it's all on local news camera. Like, it's 100% on camera. Here's a guy drinking and driving. You know, now people would freak out. He would be banned from NBA for 10 days. He's suspended for 10 days for that crap, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you asked me what I would wear if I was a coach. I got no idea. If you asked me how I would act if I was a world-famous athlete in my mid-20s, like Dennis Rodman was, yeah, I'd probably be drinking a Miller Lite, driving a Harley down the Las Vegas Strip just for the hell of it.
Can we just pause here for a moment? And Josh, can we all celebrate the fact that Carmen Electra's 48 and she's still a smoke show?
Whew. I mean, she paid good money to be a smoke show, so she looks like a
she looks like a leathery smoker to me. Sorry, guys.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She looks like a 48-year-old
who's been through some shit. Let's pretend your wife isn't listening.
She looks like a 48-year-old with a bunch of fake titties who's been through some shit. That's what she looked like. And then I hop on Twitter, everybody's waxing philosophic about her like she's some 20-year-old
bop. We were whacking.
I mean, she's not ugly. She's not ugly, but everybody's like, oh my God, she's only 48. I'm like, she looks at least 48.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think she looked good. I think she looked good. I thought she looked really good.
I guess had I not seen all that on Twitter, and there was a lot of that. You guys probably saw it. Like everybody was like, "Oh my God!" Barstool Sports, everybody like, she's only 48. If I just saw her, I'd be like, "She's pretty." Yeah.
I thought she was better than pretty. Like,
I mean, I thought, I'm not into fake boobs.
I gotta
not my
be.
Thing.
Well, I didn't even notice that, but yeah. Well, it wasn't what I was staring at. Like, I was just looking at the thing. Like, seriously, that wasn't the thing I noticed. But, like, I remember not thinking she was all that amazing when she was younger. I thought she looked better in this documentary than she did when she was younger, to me.
Yeah, she looks better now than she did then.
Yeah.
I remember.
Some of that's probably because she was a coke whore at the time she was with Dennis Rodman, if we're 100% honest.
I remember a friend of mine, I was probably about, like, 14, didn't believe me that her real name wasn't Carmen Electra. And I was like, you think her dad's name is Jim Electra? Like, what? No, of course it's a fake name. There's no way that's her real name.
I wonder how many husbands bought their wives that Carmen Electra strip dance workout.
When was she married to Dave Navarro? That was the thing in the mid-2000s. Yeah.
I forgot about Dave Navarro.
Yeah, they had a reality show.
Yeah, I do remember that. Huh.
Oh, and Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari. Speaking of, they're getting divorced after 10 years of marriage. Oh, Jay Cutler back on the market.
They weren't they trapped in a like?
Yes, they were
like Fiji somewhere for like a month because of
That had to end it right there.
Wow, I guess you can't live in paradise with everyone.
Maybe Jay Cutler just don't care.
So answer me this while we're on the topic. Josh, Carmen Electra or Yasmin Bleeth?
In their heyday?
Yeah.
Probably Yasmin.
All right.
Let me just Google that to verify that. I hadn't seen a picture of Yasmin Bleeth since like...
Yasmin Bleeth is what Kelly Kapowski would look like if she were actually hot.
Let's see here. Yasmin.
Seriously, like she's Kelly Kapowski, except she's actually hot.
Yeah, very similar.
Oh, and Yasmin was a Baywatch girl, right?
She's apparently fat now.
Carmen Electra was too.
Oh my God, she's...
She's 51 and like really overweight now. Yeah,
but
happened?
She looks like she's just like living her best life, though. I kind of love that.
That happened.
Wow. We all grow up.
That's kind of funny, though. She looks like a normal person. Like, you'd see her at Publix and have no clue that's Yasmin Bleeth.
100%. You know? Like she's taking her kids to soccer mom, except she's not the hot soccer mom. She's just the soccer mom. Yeah.
All right, I'm retracting my statement. I'm going to go back to, sorry, Heyday. Yeah, Carmen Heyday, Electra. Carmen Electra. Yeah, even though I think she had fake boobs back then, too.
Yeah, Carmen Electra's always one. Like, I don't see your leathery. Whatever. She looks good to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
I sent you guys a video of Dennis Rodman partying on stage with Pearl Jam back in 1998. It's super awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He's just drunk on stage, and Eddie Vedder gets on his shoulders and sings.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, what's it like to be Michael Jordan to go pick up Dennis Rodman from Vegas at his hotel and knock on the door and go in and find Rodman in bed with strippers and obviously coke? I mean, Jordan says, I'm not going to tell you what I found in the bed, but by him not telling you, you can pretty much fill in all the blanks of what he found in the bed. You know, and Carmen Electra's hiding in the closet. Like, just the most surreal description I can imagine. I like that Carmen Electra's describing hiding in the closet from Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan's describing picking him up. And I'm like, is this real life? Like, this is crazy.
I mean, sounds pretty awesome. To be honest, Vegas is awesome. Dennis Rodman is awesome. It sounds like, how bad do you have to be where Michael Jordan has to be the one to come to Vegas and pull you out?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And let's be honest, now this is what's really funny, is Michael Jordan is the straight man here going to Vegas
to pull
you out. It's not like Michael Jordan doesn't also have a bad history of going to Vegas and having vacations and getting in trouble with women.
This is like Chris Farley knocking on your door and be like, dude, we need an intervention. you need to calm down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like Chris Farley having an intervention for John Belushi.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean... I think it's funny, like, he acts like, oh, I had to go get him. Like, dude, whatever, you were already in Vegas, dude. Like, let's be honest. But that's, I mean, nothing in Vegas would surprise me.
Like, I do get the feel that Michael didn't do a lot during the season.
Have you been to Vegas, Kenny?
I've never been to Vegas, no. I have not.
I've been to Vegas 5 times.
I have
interesting place.
This is the thing. Yeah. I've thought about going to Vegas before, and this is what I've decided. There's nothing in Vegas good for me to go to, so I'm not going to Vegas.
Ken, there's a lot of places to go.
No, there's really not.
There's roller coasters, and there's museums, and there's live shows.
I can go to all
you don't
of
have
that
to gamble
in cities
a dollar.
Where I don't gamble money, and where there's not naked women everywhere.
Rod Stewart plays nightly concerts in Vegas now.
Okay, so there's Garth not Brooks old did. Naked women everywhere.
It's so I've been to Vegas. Every time I've been to Vegas was for business. I used to go to the World of Concrete every year. It was the biggest trade show in Vegas for work. And so I was there for work. And so I never went to any strip clubs or, I went to some casinos, but I only did like some blackjack. I think I spent at most $20 one night. But first of all, in very many ways, it's completely stupid. Vegas is really dumb. But if you're ever there, if you ever win a trip there, or you're there for work, the food is amazing, and
I've heard that
cheap as shit. Yes. So I remember going to the
Although
Yellowtail.
I've heard that's changed some. That it's not cheap like it used to be.
Well, I went to this place called the Yellowtail, which was in the Bellagio, and they had like some kick-ass sushi, man. And if you know how to, and JT can probably do Vegas better than I can, but like you go to these sports books, dude, and I'm not even a gambler like JT is, but like you just sit there in a fucking leather chair and watch, like it's otherworldly. You watch just these giant screens of like every sporting event being played in the entire world, and you get free drinks, basically, if you're participating and if you're like betting on something, even if it's small.
You get drink tickets, you know, when you place your bet. We actually, we did Vegas last fall, we did the all you can drink seats in the so we had like a VIP couch in the sports book at the Venetian, and so it was whatever you want, all of it, which was terrible.
I got drunk. I was pretty straight laced when I went because I was there for work, and I'd have to wake up early to do these trade shows, and so I'd go to bed at a reasonable time. I never really got crazy, but then the last night I went, I was working for a company in Birmingham, and our boss had left like the day before and left me and a few other guys there an extra day. Long story short, we're in Vegas basically with a free day with no boss, and I'm there with a guy named Harper. Harper was our programmer, and Harper could throw down, and I'm like a T-ball, just dork compared to Harper in regards to like throwing down at bars, you know. And I was, part of me deep down was terrified because I knew I'm about to go out with Harper in Vegas. Are you fucking kidding me? I've been to Harper. I've been to the Rogue Tavern in Birmingham with Harper, and that was scary enough. And I'm in Vegas with Harper. Holy shit. And so I drink a bunch of water. I emotionally prepared myself. And that night, boys, we went to the Flamingo, and I don't even know what happened. I got totally shit faced, and I remember.
But see, I'm not that guy. Like, I don't enjoy.
I don't either.
That. So like,
I don't either.
Not, I don't.
No,
I
don't. I know. I don't either.
What
and I
do at Vegas.
I know. Like I. But you've never been to Vegas with Harper. Like I, you don't understand.
Right.
Like, I was there with Harper, and we sit down at this this blackjack table, and we meet these other two guys. And we just became like their best friends for like the whole night. So we go to all these casinos with these two guys. We didn't even know. They're from like Omaha, Nebraska. And I remember stumbling out of the bathroom at the Flamingo. And I'm drunk. I just stumble out of the bathroom. And I see this guy. And there's people. I see this random guy. And I remember he had like a frat comb over haircut. Like the swoosh haircut. And like croquis. And like a polo, and I go, hey, you're from Alabama, and he goes, Roll fucking Tide, I'm from Trussville, man. I was like, holy shit, I live in Birmingham. And then like we picked him up, and then he went to the rest of the casinos with us, and that's how Vegas works basically. And then the next day I fly home, and I thought I was gonna die. If you've never flown with a hangover, it is the worst feeling in the world. It's so bad. It's I don't wish it upon my worst enemy, man.
But again, like, I don't know why I would enjoy any of that. Like,
you know what?
I don't
like,
have any friends
I kinda,
like that I would
I know,
take. And,
I know.
And on top of that, like, it just doesn't sound fun. Like,
it's
look,
honestly,
I would enjoy
it's not.
The gambling. I could get into gambling. I would lose, like, so much money because I always believe, like, I'm the guy that I guarantee you, I'm this way with fantasy sports, too. Like, if I do a daily draft on, you know, FanDuel or something, I'm the guy that doesn't feel like I just won $20. I'm the guy that feels like I lost $100 because I didn't have more money put down. That's me. Like, I'm that guy, and I hate it. And so then I gamble big, and I lose it all, you know. And I say big. Like, I'm not talking thousands of dollars. That's not me. But
the trick with Vegas is you've got to go with cash in an envelope. And be okay with the mentality of, hey, when this is all gone, we're done.
Right.
Like, this is my spending money.
Then
if I lose
you,
it all, I'm
then
okay.
Then they give you a lot of alcohol, and
right.
you forget
but
all
But you
that.
Just got to be smart with, and say you win $20. Well, then you take that $20 and you put it in a separate envelope called the winnings envelope, right?
Sure.
And that's what you spend. You know, hey, we won $20. Yes, that's not big in the grand scheme of things, but hey, I just bought us lunch tomorrow. We have free lunch now on Las Vegas. And so you do have to be smart with how you handle your funds. I recommend that highly because you could be like me where we went out there and I won't say how much I bet, but it was enough to just tell my wife, hey, we really need to pull for Auburn here to cover. That'd be really awesome. She's like, how much did you bet? I'm like, that's not important. It's really important that the Auburn Tigers win. And luckily, Georgia bailed me out later that night by covering, so I ended up breaking even. But it was significant. It's not Michael Jordan amount of money, but it was a significant amount of money. But that's just kind of how Vegas is. But again, that's what I brought money to be able to do. You know, that's what I enjoy doing. I'll tell you, the worst place to me than Vegas was when I went to Los Angeles. And we went to West Hollywood. We stayed on Sunset Strip, right on Sunset Boulevard. And let me tell you, flying with a hangover, oh, dude, I totally understand why people go out as young actors in Hollywood and die in like 5 years. We went to the Viper Room where River Phoenix died. Worst. We went to the Rainbow Room where Lemmy hung out. The Whiskey A Go-Go was 2 blocks down from our hotel. So we stayed right there. And we went out there because we were on the Jason Ellis show. Our friend Jason Ellis has a radio show out there, and he invited us out to his house. It was super cool. And so we're like hanging out in Hollywood. Everything in there is super expensive. But the day we're flying home, my buddy and his wife, they flew out earlier than I did, so they were responsible. And they're like, hey, we're going to Uber back to the hotel. It's like 11 o'clock. We're going to get some sleep. And I'm like, cool. I'll be right behind you. Probably finish this drink. Okay, it was like 3:30 in the morning, and I was like walking back to the hotel. My flight's at 7. And so like, I walk back to the hotel. I've been hanging out. The Rainbow Room is this trashy little bar where Lemmy from Motorhead used to hang out. If you ever see the Lemmy documentary, he's all in there. And the pictures on the wall, it's all Elton John and Slash, like anybody you can name in music. John Belushi had his last meal at the Rainbow Room.
Wow.
And so I'm hanging out there until last call is like 4. So I go back to my hotel room. I sleep. I set my alarm for like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I go downstairs. I check out. I get in my Uber. I sleep to LAX. I get some breakfast at LAX. I'm like still out of it. I get on the plane. I sleep. It's a 5-hour flight plus the 3 hours you get back. So I get off my plane and now it's dark. I've missed the entire day. I get in my car, I drive from Atlanta back home, I walk inside, and then I go puke.
Oh my God.
Worst day of my life.
Oh, I hear you, man. Terrible.
But LA, just like, man, the Sunset Strip, you can totally, I get the entire, like, the Motley Crue vibe of LA. Like, that side of town, it's a wild yeah. party scene, man. For real.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Jumping back to the whole Last Dance documentary, talking about Rodman and all the crazy things he did, and is it safe to bet that, I mean, and okay, two-fold question here. One, is it safe to assume that every sports star from that time was basically trash human beings? And secondly, are they still that way? And let me explain. I mean, you got Jordan basically going into the coked up Bulls, right? And you got Rodman and all these guys that are hardcore partiers later on. You know that that Jordan himself is into some stuff. You got Magic Johnson, who ends up with HIV but has admitted that his entire thing was girls, and that every night he would go back to the hotel where there'd be like 40 women there and he wanting to meet him and get autographs, and he would leave a number and multiple girls would come up to his hotel room each night. You got Jordan on the plane aggravating the rookie during the show. I don't know if Josh saw this part or not, but teasing the rookie about, yeah, son, you need to like actually, you know, not stay out all night and stop drinking and all this stuff. Like, is it just safe to assume that all these people are pretty much trash when they're not playing sports?
I just think it was a different time. I think it was a different era where athletes were not as concerned with everything they put in their bodies the way they are now.
We should name all the wholesome athletes right now that we can think of. That you think are like genuinely... I'm sorry, I interrupted you, JT.
No, it's fine.
No. That are genuinely Steph Curry.
No, not a bit. I don't
think so.
Really?
For a minute. No,
I think
I
he likes playing golf and
no,
he likes
I don't believe
being
it for a minute.
Married and.
All right, I got one. Jordan Spieth.
No, Jordan? Don't believe it for a minute.
I got another one. And these aren't
Why?
Really.
Why? Why don't you?
These aren't really super. These are my superstars, but not like actual superstars. Matt Diaz.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. low hanging fruit, easy pick right here, but like probably Dale Murphy.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely, Dale Murphy.
I do think Dale Murphy.
Although I don't think we can count him as a current athlete.
I got another one. It's gonna blow your mind, Marquise Grissom.
Okay, no. Again, not a current athlete. I do like that he drove an Aerostar van.
Yep. Very cool. All right, sorry. Current athletes. Jordan Spieth for me. I've been trying to find some dirt on Clayton Kershaw. I really want to find something, but I haven't found nothing yet.
I don't think there's probably not.
I think he seems squeaky clean.
Yeah. I think he'll cuss sometimes on the mound. That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah.
I think he'll get pissed himself and be like, son of a bitch, under his breath.
But then you got guys like Josh Hamilton. You know, you've got guys that obviously like Tyler Skaggs and all that kind of stuff, Brandon Beachy. You got guys, and those are the ones we know because bad things happen to them. But
Brandon Beachy, what happened to Brandon Beachy?
Whoa, you're talking about Tommy Hansen.
Sorry, Tommy Hansen. Didn't Beachy get in trouble, though, too? I thought he did.
Trouble for being so hot.
I thought Beachy got in trouble for something. Maybe not.
No, Tommy Hansen didn't get in trouble either. He just died.
Yeah, he just died.
Brandon Beachy was a smoke show.
Okay, whatever. But, I just feel like there's a whole lot of live free and die hard kind of philosophy among athletes, if that makes sense. Like,
for sure. But I feel like now maybe we're in a weird time where I want to complain about it on one hand, and then I want to be like, it's actually kind of good that people might not be dying as much right now. But I think they are.
They are. Less people died in the 80s and from sports than there are now.
I think it's a totally.
I don't know.
The lifestyle has totally changed.
I feel like, let me use Clayton Kershaw as an example. I feel like that type of guy right now is cool. It's cool to be humble and to talk nice about your opponents.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it is. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but it is. I'm cool with air quotes. It really is. If you go on Twitter like that, that is cool. It is cool to be respectful. It's not cool to talk shit.
I think Mike Trout's really clean.
I agree. Yeah. It's not cool to send a fastball to somebody's ribs.
But here's the thing, though, Josh.
You know what I mean?
How much of what we call sweet and innocent is perception? Because at the time, I would have told you Michael Jordan was that. I would have told you Michael Jordan didn't cuss a lot.
But how do you hide that now? How do you hide that nowadays?
Yeah, you can't hide a lot.
It's so hard.
To JT's point, it's really tough to hide. It really is. It's tougher to hide. Now, it does happen.
It's not.
There's still that curtain. There's that curtain that
Michael Jordan
we'll
hid
know
that
about.
Because we didn't have social media. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't know these things.
Maybe, but when was the last time you watched a baseball game and heard cussing? And yet we all know that they're foul mouth that can be. But you don't hear it on national television because they keep it all clipped and clean and nice and neat.
Yeah,
and
but
don't show you that side of things.
Look, you can be a squeaky clean guy and still say shit on.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm just saying.
Mark Richt cussed. I mean,
I'm just saying, if that can be covered up, though, if something that overt and right in the middle of the game, then it's super easy to cover other stuff up.
I don't think, if LeBron James today had the gambling issues that Michael Jordan had in his day, there's no way we wouldn't know about it. And LeBron is squeaky clean. Because with all the attention that LeBron has had, it's easy for, Luke Jackson to live a squeaky clean lifestyle because he can kind of do what he wants. Unless he gets arrested, we wouldn't know about it anyway. But LeBron, where everything he does is known about, every place he goes, he has had a tremendous career of never having a misstep.
But we don't believe it when athletes have a misstep. Like Kobe Bryant. Kobe had the whole rape allegation, whether there was at least some truth to it. I don't know exactly what fell out on it. He always claimed it wasn't rape, that it was consensual. But he obviously had a dumb moment in his life where he was this young party kid like every other NBA player, and he had to pay for it. But everybody just forgave him. Nobody cared, and it just basically swept under the rug. And now Kobe died and like everybody's like, oh, he was this glorious saint, and I'm like, well, I mean, he's all right, but like we don't really know what he was like. You know?
I also think too that the public for the most part is very forgiving. You know what I mean? Like at a certain point, if you own your mistakes, people are willing to forgive it. And it may take time, but as long as you have ownership of it, maybe. you know, like people forget about those kind of things. Like
I think the public is forgetful, not forgiving.
Well, I think people appreciate athletes like John Daly, who's up front about their personal, you know, demons and whatnot. You know, that makes him more endearing to people. I think Tiger Woods is a great example. When I think more people like Tiger Woods now than they did before.
Right.
It's kind of like,
he's a human.
It's how JT talked about Chipper Jones last week. Another example of that.
Yeah, I think that's endeared more people to Chipper to be like, okay, like he's a person like I am. You know?
But does that make him clean now? So this is the thing: if Tiger Woods never gets whacked upside the head with his wife by his wife with a golf club, does anyone ever know that he's this trashy dude that sleeps with every woman he can get his hands on?
Like, I think eventually people would know.
I don't think they would. I think if no one ever hits him upside the head, I don't think the media cares.
Chipper's a good example because Chipper's okay. So this is before social media. I mean, we could have known about Chipper's missteps when we were a lot younger. I don't think we really even knew that that was a thing to even know about. You know, like if we're watching the 95 World Series, we're just pulling for Chipper Jones because he plays for the Braves. We're not thinking, oh, pulling for Chipper because he had a child out of wedlock, you know, and had a divorce because he cheated on his wife. Mm. We don't care because, shit, I'm 12 years old. What does that mean to me?
No one cares. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like,
no one cares, yeah.
So
and I really think that's the way it should be. I mean, who am I to make, like, look, I cheer. Look, I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want them to win football games. Why should I care what Gardner Minshew is doing in his personal life? As long as you're showing up on Sunday and throwing touchdowns for my team, what's between you and your wife, that's not my business.
It is, though. If I'm going to put you up as a hero for my kids, and I know they're not heroes, I know I've heard Charles Barkley's speech, and I agree with a measure of it, but if I'm going to put you up as a kid's game, I mean, we can't pretend like these aren't kids' games. Like, they make football out and baseball and basketball for kids. And then you're out being a man whore every night after the game, and, like, you're setting an example whether you want to or not. Like, it's part of the drill. Like, and I get what Charles is saying is don't make us heroes. We're not heroes. Like, I get all that stuff. But you are. You literally are because we're paying you millions of dollars and making you the literal idols on our television that we watch night after night after night. Who you are matters. And I think it does matter.
I get what you're saying. But I think that if you want to idolize Charles Barkley from a basketball standpoint, that's great. But if you want to say, hey, who should I idolize to show me how to be a dad or how to be a husband, it don't need to be Charles Barkley. If you're looking at someone to say, hey, I want to learn how to be a power forward, hey, Charles Barkley's your guy. But if you're looking at Brett Favre, to be like, hey, how should I be a husband? Brett Favre might not be the right guy that you want to go to.
Then maybe shouldn't make these roles out to be like the manliest role is to be a quarterback for the NFL.
There needs to be a cap on it.
Because part of the identity, it's not possible to separate the identity of quarterback from being a manly man, and that's what it means to be a man. Like, you grow up, and the guy that's the quarterback, like, that's what every little boy wants to be, basically, is you want to be that guy in the bottom of the ninth that's going to save the team.
And he should be on the field.
But that's not – but as a little kid, I don't turn that off. Like, as a kid, I can't stop – as a kid, I don't say I want to be that guy on the field. As a kid, I want to be Chipper Jones, period.
But as a kid, we didn't know those kind of things either. Like, as a kid, I thought Brett Favre. I thought Brett Favre was awesome. Mm. I didn't know Brett Favre was addicted to painkillers. Yeah. Because I was like 13. I didn't know those things. Oh, by the way, Peyton Manning, squeaky clean. There's a good example.
Peyton Manning.
That is a good example.
He squeaky clean is a definition. He's not a very nice person.
Why? Because
I know people that have met him and worked with him. He's not a very nice person.
Because he wouldn't sign their toys.
They said he's a complete a-hole.
That's Ozzie Albies was mean to me because.
Drag him, JT. I'll have none of it.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know any of these guys. I can't say they're good people or not. I mean, who am I to judge if someone else is a good person or not?
Well,
I judge everybody, actually.
I actually think you probably should judge most people, to be honest. But
I don't know.
I think it's probably not the best if you're going out sleeping with 20 women a night. I mean, I can judge that and make an opinion on it. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. I also don't know what athletes are sleeping with 20 women a night.
Well, I mean, so Magic Johnson made out like it was everyone. I mean, like, in his interviews, he was like, basically the entire team was going back to the hotel.
Well, and there was women throwing themselves back then. It probably was in the 80s. I mean, it was a different, totally different environment.
So you think that doesn't happen now?
I don't think it happens to that extent. No, I mean, I'm sure it happens.
I agree.
So Ozzy just accidentally ends up with Miss Brazilian Butt Lady. Like, she didn't throw herself at him.
Look, I know people who Ozzy is actively in their DMs on the Instagram. Like, this happens with athletes, and that's whatever. That's not my place to judge. What I'm saying is, back in the 80s, before AIDS was even a big thing, I think that was a lot more common. Nowadays, I think it's a lot more, it's not like, I don't think the parties with groupies and cocaine everywhere are like they were back in 1985.
Okay.
Yeah, I had that exact card, Josh.
Yeah?
With the curly QC.
Yeah.
Back before they did the new
ones. I was trying to find
had that
it.
Exact one. Yep.
See, and that's where I'm curious, JT, like if we're all just naive now and it's still exactly the same, or if the world's actually changed. Because you end up with people like Tyler Skaggs that are dead from, you know, mixing cocktails with all kinds of crazy opioids in it. You know, you end up with, and it's obviously not like a one or two little incident thing. It's if one or two people are dying from it, then I can guarantee you a whole lot of people are doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's,
yeah. And they may be, but I think also with opioids as opposed to cocaine, I think that's more of a solo thing than it is like a group party thing. Like, I think cocaine in the 80s was more of a team. Like when Jordan talked about last week, coming in the room and, like, the whole team was in there. You know? Like, I don't think it's like that anymore. Like, I don't think, like, the Braves go on the road and there's a whole group of them all doing coke in a hotel.
I definitely don't think it's as open. You know, like, as acceptable.
Right, right. Exactly.
But
yeah, it's not as, like,
I don't know that it's any less prevalent. I just don't know
I think
it's quite
way
like,
less prevalent, dude. Yes, I'm telling you. And I mean,
I think humans are humans, and I don't think we are disciplined enough to change that.
Humans are definitely humans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
human has not changed, but I'm telling you, man, the way things are now, like, it's so easy for anybody to get caught, more so now than any time ever, dude. Like, I'm telling you, even the
worst
of the worst.
So now they just go to private islands and private parties and do it. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit. Sure, a little bit. You know?
I also think athletes are more in tune now with what they put in their bodies than ever before. That guys are way more conscious as to what they eat, what they drink. If they do drugs at all, I think they're way
there
more
is
conscious
a lot more
this
testing. There is a lot more testing now and that kind of thing.
A lot more testing. There's social media. There's just narcs. There's just so much. And I mean, it still happens for sure. I mean, Jose Fernandez is probably a really good example. I mean, you know, I mean that especially. I think it's more I will agree with you that it's probably relatively prevalent, honestly, with Latin players, honestly, because when they go home, they go to bad places. They just do. There's no nice way. It sounds weird, but to say that it's just true.
I think that's any
they don't go,
that's from a
– they don't go home to Nashville. They don't go home to Huntsville. They don't go home – you know what I mean? They don't go home to mama in Macon, Georgia. They go to some rough places.
I can see how Latinos have a real challenge with
they
it.
They get shot.
But you've also got guys like Josh Hamilton and different ones who are, quote, I mean, I think Josh Hamilton's actually a good guy that just has a problem. You know what I mean? Like, I seriously believe that.
But I do.
Cornbread, you know.
He's also pretty rare in his time. in regards to what he that kind of shit. I don't think it's like all of his teammates were doing it like you might think they were. I don't think so.
Well, his coach was.
Well, that's true.
True. I also think too that like it's, I don't know, how many guys would, I mean, I would be quite surprised if say like Freddie Freeman came out and said I have a problem with crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be absolutely shocked. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
but you
know what I mean?
But you wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, like Twitter came out with this theory if Freddie came out and said I'm addicted to painkillers, which. And I take two a night and have a drink with them, and that's how I spend my evenings. You know, like, right. That wouldn't shock you at all, but it's basically the same thing, just in a different format. You know, it's still the same need of get high, check out. You know, and I'm not saying Freddie Freeman's doing any of that. Look, I think the people on Twitter are insane. But I'm just saying that sort of thing doesn't seem – I just don't think humans have changed that much. And you
no,
guys
humans
have a lot more
changed.
Faith.
Humans haven't changed at all. I just think that people are more conscious of public appearance. People are more conscious of what they put into their bodies as far as health and nutrition and stuff like that goes in terms of having a long-term athletic career. People know more about, you know, like back in the 80s, you didn't have all these health drinks and vegan options and other things, going gluten-free and things like that. Like, you ate McDonald's like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. There was some people
back
that
in
did.
The 80s, they didn't even want baseball players lifting weights because they thought it was bad for their swing. They thought it lessened their flexibility. Like, they just drank and smoked and shit. That's a great example. Back in the damn 60s, people in the NBA were in the NFL were smoking cigarettes during halftime.
Yeah.
How many guys, you know, in the 80s were damn smoking cigarettes in the dugout? Like, nowadays, if you pulled out a pack of Marlboro Lights in the dugout, people look at you like you're a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine like Charlie Culberson lighting up a Marlboro in the dugout.
But you can go up to the clubhouse and you can drink six beers in the middle of the game and nobody thinks anything of it now. I mean, that was proved by Boston a few years ago. Like, they were drinking during games, like, up at the clubhouse, you know? And to think that that's not still, like if you talk to reporters, it's very clear that as soon as the game's over, there's a lot of beer consumed in most baseball teams. And I mean a lot. I mean, like, not just like, oh, I'm going to have a cold one or two, but I mean, like, a 12-pack is not
surprising. I can see that. But also, I mean, tobacco is a good example. I mean, you don't see chewing tobacco the way you used to see it in the 80s either. Mm. Guys are more conscious of the risks of it and the dangers of it than it used to
be.
Which
is a bunch of
bullshit. Prevalent.
And also MLB, like, banned it from being, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're sitting in the dugout and you want to put in some dip, I mean, nobody's going to stop you.
Smokeless tobacco is harmless.
I mean, as long as you basically have it out of your mouth when you come to the plate, I mean, maybe you can still dip as freely as you want. No one's going to be able to tell or do anything about it.
That's what she said. And with that note, we're going to wrap this episode up. Thanks for listening, guys. You've been listening to the Knock Home Nation podcast show, the world's leading replacement-level podcast. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown, the guy in the crazy Boston hat, and the other guy up there with the really sexy beard and the Georgia hat. That would be that'd be JT Holton with a shaved head.
Nice to meet me.
He's practically the commish, except thinner.
Toodaloo. Y'all have a good night now.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.